We'll be in Psalm 20, Psalm number 20. Most of you know I try to read from the book of Psalms on a daily basis. Put this thought together on Friday afternoon. Brother Gary was teaching this morning in Sunday school on prayer. I encourage you to be a part of that. He's doing a great job on that. And talked this morning about the importance of a name. And we all drop names. I'd put this together on Friday, so I thought it was interesting that he and I were following the same thought. And so anything he said worth hearing this morning, he got from me. But no. Did you put yours together before Friday?
I was listening on the back porch.
No, what you were hearing with the neighbors, and I promise you there was nothing biblical about what they were saying. Because we could hear them inside the house. Although I did hear the Lord's name, but it was more taken in vain a few times. That put you in Psalm 20. Verse number 1 says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." Certainly this is a psalm admonishing us about the greatness of the name of God. Since we're close by, just go back to Psalm number 8. Not for any other reason than I like the emphasis on the name of God in Psalm 8, verse number 1. Psalm 8, verse number 1 says, "Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." Certainly his name is an excellent name. And it is a name that is above every name. And we were told, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, to pray in the name of God, because that is the authority associated with that name. And we've all been in the place where we have dropped somebody's name to get benefits or whatever it may be. But this is having to do with salvation and prayer and deliverance. Psalm 20 and Psalm 21, both penned by David, both are messianic psalms. They're references to the Messiah in places. Both of them written about the same time frame. Psalm 20 is basically a prayer before a battle. Psalm 21 is basically praise after the battle is over. Praying going into the battle, then they're delivered in the battle, and certainly praising God when they come out the other side. That's certainly a good recipe, is it not, to follow. But we see in this psalm that the people are praying for their king. Certainly their leadership, they're praying for them. They're praying for victory in the battle. Certainly we pray along these same lines when we're facing a crisis or an obstacle. I would preface it tonight and won't emphasize a lot on prayer because we covered that thoroughly today with Sunday school and our morning service, but God's people should be a praying people. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing, to ever be in this attitude of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Certainly we ought to be a people of prayer. Certainly not just at church, but in our daily lives it should define us. And I hope you are praying. Certainly when we started the church, I didn't ask for the Lord to give us finances. I didn't ask for the Lord to give us talented people. We never prayed along those lines. But I did specifically ask the Lord to give us praying people. We felt that was important. And people that would pray. And give us people that had servants' hearts and willing to minister. There are several things in this psalm. I'll limit my thought to to three primary things along the things I jotted down. Just a first casual reading of the psalm, it jumped out to me, maybe it did to you, that there was an emphasis or repetition of the name of the Lord mentioned. It was actually in three different verses in this psalm, something was said about the name of God. Certainly that name is a name of victory, a name of power. It's important. You know, Acts 4:12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name given. That sounds pretty important. We've often said, and I've received some criticism from some outside sources, that one of the issues we had with some of the missionaries going into the Middle East, and we understand some of the dangers they faced there, but they said they would never approach people with the name of Jesus because Jesus was so offensive and such a turnoff to people. And I'm thinking, well, what do you approach them with if you don't approach them with Jesus? There's no other name to offer anybody. And of course, they were going to try to have another way to take the name of Allah that meant God and tell them about the true God and those type of things. And I'm not being critical of people, but I'm telling you, if you cannot talk about Jesus and who the Son of God is, there is no Savior, and you just will not discuss anything with anybody, whether it's here or on a foreign field. And don't mean that to sound as hard as it did. You got about that much of months worth of conversation and discussing with people. But anyway, it is the only name that is given. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42 says, whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Just the smallest of ministry that we do unto the glory of God, in the name of God, if you will, to bring honor and glory to who God is. Certainly God blesses us for that. I guess if we had to emphasize the importance of the name of God, certainly we'd have to do it in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse number 9, where it says, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, or every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth and things under the earth, showing us the supreme name of God, the authority with God, the power of God, the position of God. Certainly his name is above all names. Now in this psalm, I jotted these three things down about the name of God. Number one, I jotted down there is protection associated with the name of God. Anybody have a big brother or a big sister? Anybody? Anybody, who was the big brother and big sister? Was anybody in here the oldest? Okay, some of y'all were. Let me see the hands that had somebody older, though, big brother or big sister. Y'all with me? Okay, now I don't know if this is how it worked out for you. Not a whole lot of people messed with me in my hometown because I had a big brother. Y'all know what I'm saying? And when that bully would come up with me, I'll promise you, he had to deal with my big brother. Now, we can make other applications. I'm just giving you a carnal one because I was mean and fought. Y'all know what I'm saying. But y'all understand, I had protection. He was in the mafia. No. Name was Guido. I make him an offer he can't refuse. You see that? Don't touch my brother again. You wake up with a horse head in your bed. No, but there was protection. Yeah, y'all follow this. I don't want you to look at it just in that type of illustration, but look what he said in verse number 1 about the protection with the name of God. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. We're going to come back to that phrase. The name of the God of Jacob, what? Defends thee. Does God defend and protect his children? Does he? Matter of fact, if that is not our defense and our protection, we're not fit to protect ourselves. Now, we know God's people get into harmful situations. We know they perish. We know all types of things. But it's not due to a lack of God's protection. God has placed a hedge of protection around them. Even in death, we're protected because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. How come? Because the protection and presence of God is there. Thy rod and thy staff. Why did he mention those things? One was for defense and one is for correction. And that's what that rod and staff was all about. So we find here protection. I looked this word defend up, the word that he used in verse number one. Its strongest meaning means to protect. It means to keep safe. It means to fence in or to hedge in. A hedge of protection. As we read about in the book of Job, David spoke about a shield in Psalm 3. He says, a shield about me, which literally means a shield on every side. God's shield of protection. Certainly, we see this in many places in the Bible. But God is able to defend us. We've got illustration after illustration. And I often say this to you, and people ask me to give a verse and a text to it, but I still believe with all of my heart that when we get to heaven, God's going to allow us to see some of the times He protected us that we were not even aware of. I believe we'll see God's intervention when we thought they were just, you know, bumps in the road or detours or things that delayed us or things that sped us up or, you know, things that caused us from being in one place or another. I think God will let us in on the times He has protected us when we're trying to do something else. So number one, we see protection with the name of the Lord in verse number one. We see power in the name of the Lord in verse number five. Look what he says in verse number five. He says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. These were the banners of war. These were the colors of war, the banners, the flags, if you will. But they were banners of victory. And certainly the name of God was their banner. I guess if you want to see that define the best place in the Bible, we can use David, who is the human author of this psalm, to show you how he takes the name of the Lord into battle. Turn quickly with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Y'all remember a guy by the name of Goliath? Who'd want to fight him? Nobody in the Israeli army wanted to. For 40 days and 40 nights, he intimidated them, and they lived in fear and anxiety and nervous breakdowns until David comes to the battle, bringing supplies from his father to his brothers, and he doesn't understand what's going on, and he asked the question about Goliath, called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Not even part of the covenant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He'll be asked the question in here, has he seen Goliath? They're like, you might be talking too loud. Have you seen this guy you're talking about? Because he dresses out pretty big. Now look at the whole battle here. Y'all know this story. We don't have to read in all of it. Verse 44 says of 1 Samuel 17, verse 44 says, and the Philistine, that is Goliath, said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Now, I will promise you he was a man of war, and he believed every word that he said. He was capable of doing that very thing to David. He wasn't just a bully talking big. He was a big man of war. Verse 45 says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now, how is David going to approach this giant, this thing that's come against him? Is he going to do it in the flesh? Absolutely not. He's coming in the name of the Lord. You know why? Because there is power in the name of the Lord. And matter of fact, he found some pretty bold confidence in verse number 46, where David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And the whole assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give it into our hands. But the thought is here, when David is penning Psalm 20, I will assure you he's reflecting back that there is power in the name of the Lord. It is protection and it is power. We have no power against any enemy that comes against us, spiritually or physically, apart from the protection and the power of God. We often will say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the first part of that verse tells you why you're able to resist him. Because you submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. And then you resist the devil. Submitting comes before resisting. That is your power source. So number one, there is protection in the name of the Lord. Number two, there is power associated with the name of the Lord. Number three, there is preeminence. I like what he says in verse number seven, this preeminence in the name of the Lord. He says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And that'd be like us in the military saying, some trust in tanks or whatever machinery you'd want to look at, and some trust in, you know, battleships or, you know, aircrafts or whatever it is, nuclear bombs. He's showing you in the day what people trusted in for their protection. But he's showing you what is preeminent for our protection. He says there are those that will trust in horses and those that will trust in chariots. But we trust in the Lord. Because you understand, if you take the Lord out of the equation, all those other things are not fit to protect us anyway. Amen. He is our protection and he is our the one we have give the preeminence. We will remember the name of the Lord. It implies that we acknowledge that he is above all and in control of all. I jotted down in my notes, he is not our last resource. He's our only resource. Not something that we look to when all else fails. I told you the story of, you know, back in the day when they had to travel ship so much. You know, what's that little song? Horatio Spafford, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, on the ship, wrote that in a place where his family had perished. And but during that time, and I don't remember who it was one of the famous preachers, though, that were traveling on a ship. And the ship was sinking, and the captain said, all I know to do is pray. And somebody said, oh no, has it come to that? Has it gotten that bad that all we can do is pray? Well, it ought not be a last resource, should it? Number one, I saw in this psalm the name of the Lord. I saw protection, I saw power, and I saw preeminence associated with it. Second thing, in my casual reading through it, that jumped out to me was not only the name of the Lord. Second thing that jumped out to me in verse number one was the day of trouble. Does that jump out at anybody? The day of trouble. It's worded like that too. It's called in the day of trouble. Actually speaking of a specific moment in time. You guys understand that trouble has a way of just showing up, doesn't it? Very seldom do you get an invitation that says, I will arrive, you know, unless it's out-of-state guests. You get an invitation that says, I will arrive such and such time. This is what I'm going to do to you. Usually, for the most part, trouble shows up, and it brings lots of people with it, doesn't it? All kinds of problems with it. A day of trouble. Life will have many moments of trouble. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. The word trouble that you find in the Old Testament has several meanings. The most popular meanings are adversity, afflictions, tribulation, anguish, sorrow, distress. And I guess the reason there's so many words that define trouble is because so many different types of trouble come to us in a daily basis. David will also say over in Psalm 46, verse number 1, that God is a very present help in a time of trouble. The word time there means appointed time, specific time, set time. So there are trouble. Comes usually when we least expect it. People in the world say funny things about trouble, you know, as they're holding their rabbit's foot. It doesn't seem like it's too lucky for the rabbit, though, did it? And their four-leaf clover, did y'all ever find one of those? I remember digging in a clover patch because a neighborhood kid told me that'd bring me luck. I couldn't find one, got stung by a bee. But anyway, true story, true. You ever step on a bee barefooted? We used to all the time. But you know, people in the world will say weird things about trouble. Here's a good one. Trouble always comes in threes. Y'all ever heard those crazy things? Unless you bull a chicken, throw something over your shoulder. I don't know what it all was. But you know, really what they're saying is there's just moments in life where it just seems like trouble is followed by more trouble. That's what it is. Job had a day of trouble, didn't he? That just kept following by more trouble. Linda and I have been in places where we've looked at each other and said, don't answer the phone. I don't know if we can hear anything else. What do we do when trouble shows up? I thank the Lord that He's with us in a time of trouble. Let me give you some things the Lord will do for you in trouble. Here's the first thing you can jot down. You ready? God will always hear you in a time of trouble. Always. Don't know if that comforts you, but He knows exactly where you're at, and He will always hear your prayers in a time of trouble. I looked at the word hear, as in hearing. I found it three times in my casual reading. I found that word hear in verse number 1. Says, the Lord will hear thee in the day of trouble. I found it again in verse number 6, where it says in the middle part of that verse, He will hear from His holy heaven. I found it again in verse number 9, where it says, save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Hearing. Hearing. Y'all know God knows all things, right? Y'all believe that? God, Bible, I think it was me and Bruce or somebody had a conversation the other day about prayer after church, and it says, Lord knows what things we have need of before we even ask Him. So He's not needing information from us. He's not needing us to say, listen, in case you don't understand what's going on, these are the things that are happening. He already knows that. So He hears us. That implies that we are communicating with Him, though. You understand, this prayer is for our benefit. It's not going to alter God. It's not to get God to understand where we're at. This prayer teaches us dependence and where to go and trust and tunes us into heavenly things. And certainly it gives us the understanding that God always hears us. Y'all ever have people talking to you that you're acting like you're listening to and you're not listening to? Like y'all are with me tonight. Y'all ever do that? Where you say amen just so I'll think you're listening to me? Husbands and wives don't ever do that. What do they call that? Selective hearing? I grew up being told my grandfather was deaf and couldn't hear anything. I found out later he just liked everybody to believe that because he didn't want to listen to people. But he could hear what he wanted to hear, you know? You ever watching something or involved in something and you're giving the old standard, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, and somebody will just finally call you on it and go, do you know what I'm talking about? Nope. Men, we stray, don't we? My daughters used to come in, Casey, especially, and they would get my face and make me look at them. You're not listening. You're not looking at me. It's like, because the football game's on, baby. Don't you like football? Nope. Didn't. But y'all understand God always hears, right? That's our thought. Always hears. Certainly when we're at that place in that time of trouble, we are to pray to Him. And understand that He is understanding our trouble. And He's listening. I mean listening. A lot of times David, have you ever read the Psalms where David would say, bow down thy ear? You'll read that in the Psalm. And it's literally a medical term. It literally means cup the hand around the ear and bow down low to a very weak patient that is just barely able to communicate. And that's the thought here. But three times there is a reference to hearing. I will tell you, if you're in trouble, as we read about in verse number 1, and you define trouble however trouble is in your life, I would never tell you what you're going through is not trouble, even if I don't see it as trouble. Your path is not my path. Amen? And your obstacles will be great to you whether I see them as great and vice versa. Don't ever make light of somebody's trouble or their fear or their anxiety or their shortcomings or their difficulties. You don't know the whole story. But here he's simply saying, in this time of trouble, we should pray to God. cry out to Him and call upon Him. He knows our every need, and He wants us to cast our care upon Him. Not only do we want to understand that God can hear us in a time of trouble, second thing I jotted down is that God is able to help us in a time of trouble. Look what He says in verse number 2. Let's look at the first three words of verse number 2. I have them circled in my Bible here. It says, send thee what? Help. Didn't specifically say what the help had to be. Didn't lay it out. Just simply said, help. I was reading in the New Testament that story in Matthew 14 where Peter steps out of the boat and is walking on water. What a tremendous story that is. It's child's Bible story to us, most of us. Y'all know that story. But in that story, he takes his eyes off the Lord, puts it on the storm, and it's beginning to sink. He just said, cried out, Lord, save me. Didn't say how he did it. You know, didn't give him a detail of how to do it. It was just simply that prayer, help. I'm in trouble. Help. And the Lord saved him. He wouldn't have cared how he was saved. He just wanted a deliverance. So here we know the Lord is able to help us. If I had to define the Lord's help, I would define it, number one, as divine help. That's the best kind of help. My intentions is to help you, but I am going to fail in my attempts to help you on many occasions. There's going to be times I don't know how to help you. Your situation will go beyond my ability to help you. And by the way, it delivered me years ago. It was a moment of clarity when I realized that I didn't have to solve it all and fix it all and put it all together. Had to pray, had to counsel, had to study, had to be there for people. But you understand, there's some things Lord just got to work out in people's lives. Amen. He has to help them. So this help will be divine help, not human help, although He may use humans in it. Number two, it will be spiritual help and not fleshly help. You may not always recognize that, though it may be carried out in messengers of the flesh. Spiritual help will always benefit you more than fleshly help. And number three, it will be heavenly help and not earthly help. So God is able to help us. Nothing is too hard for Him. Don't get mad at me tonight. I say this in fun. But I heard a black preacher preaching one time years ago. Had the piano going, you know, how they get worked up. He had that little rhythm going. Y'all know? And he's talking about how God helps you in a time of trouble. And he talked about how He helped Moses cross the Red Sea. Y'all know how that is. Help the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. Boy, he's spitting them out real fast. If I knew it wouldn't shake you up, I'd liven this place up in here. And after he ran through all of them, he said, and he helped Gilligan get off the island. Well, now you know. Professor could make a radio out of a coconut shell, but he couldn't patch the hole in the boat. But anyway. He can part Red Seas. He can bring down walled cities. He can remove giants. But He brings us to the place in our life where we ask Him to help us. You know what that is? That's dependence. That's recognizing that we can't handle it on our own. And that we need Him to help us. Don't forsake God in times of trouble. He remembers, verse number 3, certainly remembers the sacrifice of the Lord and remembers our sacrifices. He says, remember all the offerings and accept the burnt sacrifices. And certainly all of those moments of service and prayers. I won't do it for time's sake. But y'all remember over in Acts chapter number 10 in the New Testament, there's kind of a turning there with Peter. Goes to Cornelius' house. Y'all remember Cornelius? He's a Gentile man. He's a devout man. He's a Christian man, first few verses. But verse number 4, he's praying and the Lord tells him basically that his alms and his prayers had come up before the Lord as a memorial. And he sends Peter to his house. Interesting little story. Keep praying. God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. We have to be willing to be that living sacrifice to, as we read in Matthew 16:24, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. That's easy in the good times. It is hard in the time of trouble. Look what else we find out the Lord will do. How does He help us? Well, He's certainly able to help us. He certainly will remember the sacrifice and offerings. I like what He said in verse number 4. He says in the latter part of that verse that the Lord will fulfill all of His counsel. Counsel. Interesting Hebrew word. Means purpose or purposes. And plan. Has a thought of an agenda, a set plan, a purpose. Saw in a few of the word study books where it had to do with His sovereign will. You folks think God's going to fulfill all of His will and purpose on the earth? Is this stuff just running however it goes and the Lord is making it up along the way? Or in the midst of it all, can we stop and go, I don't understand it. Makes no sense to me why this trouble is here. Individually, as a church, as a nation, in the Middle East, whatever it may be, and we try to define it on any level. But you understand, God has a purpose in it. He tells us individually that all things work together for what? And Ephesians 1, verse number 11 says, He worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And we're okay with that all-inclusive word, all, as long as those things He's working after His will benefit us, and we see them as blessings and good things. But the moment anything appears to be negative, we question the divine purpose and will of God. And I do that as much as you do. But He says we can rest assured, according to verse number 4, David had tapped into this. He said in verse number 4, grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all of thy counsel. All of thy counsel. I leave out early in the morning, if you're driving up and down Highway 50, on the weekends they put all of the cones and signs off in the media. Doing a lot of construction in here with this new Publix. Well, that thing's coming right along, isn't it? That's going to make shopping a pleasure. You come through there during the week, and they got lanes, you know, how they'll put all the cones out there. And they put up signs directing you over, you know, in case you don't know what the cones mean, you know. And I'll have flagmen out there. I saw a sign the other day that said men working. You don't see that men at work sign much anymore. But you know, as a child of God, God put that sign up on our lives where it says God is at work. He's working. We see the construction and all of those detours and the bumps and the long traffic jams and the delays and the problems and the woes and the sickness. And God's working in the midst of all of that. All of that. The third thing I jotted down in this psalm when I studied it was not only the name of the Lord, not only the time of trouble, I also thought about the joy of the Lord. Always amazes me that when David or these psalmists write these psalms, they'll specifically talk about trouble and are usually detailed, whether it's an enemy or an adversary or a sickness or an ailment. And they'll speak very openly about whatever the problem, even their own sins, like Psalm 51. But in the midst of that, they also talk about joy in the same psalm. They do that in verse number 5. He says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We're told to rejoice in all things. We don't see a lot of joy anymore. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We see the opposite of joy amongst God's people. But this joying in the Lord. I think there's three things you can rejoice in this psalm. Number one is salvation. That is mentioned in verse number 5. It says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And I know it's just good old-fashioned Christian answer to things. But how many of you think God's people ought to rejoice in salvation? One moment in heaven, I'll promise you, you'll be glad you're saved. And all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repenteth. This thought of salvation occurs three times in this psalm. The word salvation is found in verse number 5. The word saving is found in, or saveth and saving both are found in verse number 6. And then also you'll find the word save in verse number 9. So you have actually four references in three verses of the same exact word. They all three, all four mean the same thing. It is the Lord's salvation. His wonderful, perfect, complete salvation. A complete salvation. I like salvation like that. We can rejoice in the privilege of prayer. Latter part of verse number 5 says, "The Lord fulfill all of thy petitions." Another word for prayer. I think it's ought to bring joy to our heart that we're able to approach boldly. We preached on that last Sunday night. We can boldly come into the presence of the Lord with our petitions. We're the King's children. Isn't that a good thought? We talked about how it is when you go back home and how aggravating it would be to those in that house if you were staying with people that loved you and told you to be at home at their house and you constantly went in and said, "Is it okay if I get a glass of water? Is it okay if I get something out of the refrigerator?" You'll just reach a point where it's insulting to you. You're like, you're in the home, you're in the family. Make yourself at home. My mama will make you feel at home, won't she, Aaron? Everybody out here has met my mama. They'll know that. First time Aaron met my mom in Oklahoma, he was on a traveling thing, young man, and I introduced him, and she put a big old 24-pack of toilet paper in his hand. Am I telling the truth? After she hugged you. And when my mama hugged, she hugged you all over. And she said, "Love you, Aaron, so glad to have you. Take his toilet paper in the house." And I saw him go off with the toilet paper. Watch this now. We rejoice in salvation. We rejoice in petitions, prayer. We can rejoice in the strength of the Lord. Verse number 2 says, "Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Circle that word strengthen. Look again in verse number 6. It says, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of" what? Strengthen. Gives us strength. "I can do all things through Christ," which? Y'all know this word, don't you? Y'all know this verse. Why do we need that? Hey, if you ever need to be strengthened and be given strength, it would certainly be in a time of trouble, wouldn't it? A day of trouble, a day of agitation, of adversity, of sorrow, of grief, of heartache, of fear, of anxiety, of problems, of whatever it may be. "I can do all things through Christ," which what? You know, we say things like this all the time without even knowing it. "I don't know how I got through that." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Child of God, you do, if you'll think about it. "Well, looking back on that, I was handling at the moment, but looking back, I don't know how." Yeah, you do. Let me tell you what was going on. You weren't aware of it in the moment. Lord was strengthening you. Amen. He was giving you grace for that period of time, for whatever it is you were facing. You come out of it stronger than you went into it. Didn't even know it. Simple thoughts tonight. Let's stand.